हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 5 Adhikarna 3 Prakat and Aprakat Abodes. Okay. Okay. Riti. Next, the bhava of the gopis is enunciated with suitable examples, right? Because now we've given the general thing of the Rajabhasis, and that means you've shown the prakat and aprakat and the transcendental position of both, though the prakat is the cause, and I mean the aprakat is the cause and the prakat is the effect. Right? You know, so it's all coming from Krishna's desire. So Krishna's desire is ultimately the cause of everything, and everything else is effect. Right? So even the kriya and jnana are effects of icha. So they have to be in line. So that's the problem when the jiva then takes the kriya and jnana aspects, you know, so the knowledge and the activities and all that, without the pleasure of Krishna, then even though they're dealing with two out of three of the features of, you know, how you say, the spiritual existence, they're missing the actual primary one, which is pleasing Krishna. So working only with the secondary, that they can't get satisfaction. You can't get satisfaction from the secondary. It's the primary that gives you satisfaction. You know, it's just like, let's say, in cooking, right? You cook and then offer, and then when you eat, what's the most important thing?
Taste.
Taste, right? But now, if it looks very nice, the arrangements are very nice, the atmosphere is very nice, it adds to that taste. But now, if you just have all that, you know, five-star arrangements, but what you eat has no taste, is it going to be good? No. So that's why the material jiva, dealing with basically the kriya and jnana shaktis, you know, in their transformed, transformed form, because they say, but the nature of it being transformed by the material energy, that it takes on the qualities of temporariness and that, then the soul can never be satisfied, because the primary, which is Krishna, is not there. You know, the example is given, this like the hand, you know, if it tries to enjoy the rasgulla on its own, it will get no benefit. You know, but you put it in the mouth and the stomach, then the hand gets benefit. So that's the point, is that we being part and parcel of Krishna, it's just like, let's say you have, you want to scratch your head, right? Just thinking, immediately the hand goes and scratches, right? Okay, now the fingers are touching and they're touching things and this and that and feeling, getting that experience, but who's enjoying? Yeah, it means I'm enjoying, not the finger. The finger is non-different, but at the same time, it's a difference. So the same way as Krishna has a desire for a particular pastime, we take part in that pastime, he enjoys, but that means then the fingers are happy also. They come and come, they're interacting, but because Krishna is pleased, you're pleased. So you say, I'm very pleased, right? So everything's pleased. Does that make sense? You know, so it's not a perfect example, because you're dealing with the dead matter of the body, but the point is being conscious where it's non-different. Does that make sense? So that aspect of Krishna's desire, pleasing Krishna, that's actually the central point. So, as we were saying, is that you have the philosophy of, you know, Vishnu as the supreme, the jiva as the servant, the material energy as their, as the Lord's energy that's controlled by him, temporary, and then there's the spiritual energy. And so everything's engaged in Krishna's service for his pleasure, right? So then you're going to have those aspects, but then how that simultaneously one and different, that will be then what will regulate that so that we understand. That will be regulated by Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam, that it's all about Krishna. He's the one, we're origin, and so everything's going on because of him. And then it ultimately is about Krishna's pleasure. That's the actually the ultimate point. Is it pleasing to Krishna or not? That regulates everything else. So what you do, you know, because everything's Krishna, so you vairagya connect anything to Krishna, but is it pleasing to Krishna? Or on what level is it pleasing to Krishna? Right? We're doing something, we're connecting to Krishna, but on what level? So when it's about him as a person being pleased, then that's on the topmost level. That means it's something that he likes. Then if it's something that is the regulation of the Shastra that is given, and we're following that because it's Krishna's law, like that, but it's not so much about him being pleased other than he must be pleased because I'm following his law. I want to please Vishnu by following his law, but the purpose is I'm getting a benefit from it. Does that make sense? Or I'm just dealing on the mechanical level that I deal with the material energy in a way that is progressive in the transformation of the material energy. So, because it's his energy and he controls it, you deal with it properly, then you get results on that. Right? So then the artha kama, those come because you deal properly. You know, you take the rasgula and put it into your cheek, or, you know, like that, or on top of your head. It's not going to work. There's a method, there's a technique. And so you use that, then Krishna's pleased. Then you get more rasgulas. Right? If I bring a pot of rasgulas and we all sit around, the first guy takes it out, puts it on top of his head, you kind of move the pot a little bit. You know, and everybody else moves over and all that, and then you say, hey, what happened? You have your rasgula. That makes sense? You know, it's like you go into the restaurant and then everyone's ordering pizza and one guy orders, you know, pizza with I'd call it pineapple on it. So all the other guys then, you know, stand up, move over to another table and leave him there. Right? So the that aspect, that is it about him as a person? So that's why all this speculation of this and that, and we like this, and this is good, we are this, you know, because the Shastra means, what was it? What's the Sanskrit for you are that?
Tattvamasi.
It doesn't say, I am this. It's I am that. So when you say, I am this, I'm from, you know, here, you know, from planet Earth, and, you know, a human race, and then of that, then we're in this particular country, in this locale, this and that. And so these things we do are very pleasing to us. And since they're pleasing to us, they must be the best, because we're the best. And so then naturally, then Krishna must be doing that. But the point is yes, he's eating, but he's eating what Mother Jashoda cooks. Right? You know, that, no, but she must be cooking what I'm eating. No, she cooks what Krishna likes. You happen to like it, it's because it's offered to Krishna, or because tastes are Krishna anyway. The six tastes are Krishna, and if they're combined very expertly, because you can say, oh, but I like this food. But if that food is cooked by someone who's not very expert, you may not like it. It's that the science of cooking has been used very expertly. That's why it's good. So then someone who knows cooking can understand is, if you cook nicely, it doesn't matter what the cuisine or what the preparation. If it's done properly, it's always going to be good. Does that make sense? There's a particular flavor that you get when everything is perfectly balanced. Whether there's one spice or 10 spices, if they're balanced, you get that same quality of flavor. It may have variety, but you have that quality of flavor. So it's not about the local food. It's about how it's cooked. Does that make sense? You know, you say, oh, but the ingredients are there. What is it? You have your grains, you have your vegetables, you have your fruits, you have your dairy, you have your sweeteners. Right? So then you have the proportion, so you don't like dairy, you put in oil, okay. Does that make sense? You know, so that kind of aspect is one has to appreciate that there's, like I said.
Consistency.
Yeah, there's a consistency, and so then that's going to make the difference in the appreciation. So therefore, it's Krishna's pleasure. That's the thing. He has what he likes. So he likes to interact with the devotees, and in interacting with devotees, therefore, then there's a taste in what you can do. So he sits around the cowherd boys of friends, they all sit and eat, or he's with gopis and eating, or he's with family, you know, Nanda Bhavan and eating, you know, like this. And therefore, that's why here we like to sit with family or friends or like this and eat. So does that make sense? And even if we just like to eat alone, but the point is it's the taste is actually Krishna, so if alone you can appreciate it, then it works. So, but it all goes back to Krishna. So the primary is the actual Krishna's pleasure, is the real thing. So as long as we focus on the secondary and make that the important, then it doesn't look like the primary, because it looks like everything's done, because the primary is about the experience. So now is it about our experience or about Krishna's experience? So if it's I am this, then it's going to be about our experience. As soon as you say, well, we're from here, then it's about your own experience. It's not about Krishna's experience. So then those mechanics, because those mechanics are what make everything work. Right? You have a situation. And there's knowledge of that situation and what it is, how it relates to each other. But then there's how you apply that in the relationship, the dynamic relationship, that can get effect. Because in other words, the field doesn't give effects. The field only gives effects when the knowledge is applied, you know, with the proper attitude and everything, then you get effects. So the effect being for Krishna, and then the mood of being to please Krishna. That's the actual purpose. Because the other ones, it's just, oh, I get this effect. And then that brings pleasure. So we're looking at this mechanical thing is very important. So that aspect, the mode of passion and that, they'll get into this more. But, so it looks to be complete. We can think, I have created a complete system. Because focusing on this, I know those things, but it's not complete because it's not connected to Krishna for his pleasure. Right? Mechanically, maybe, but in reality, in concrete reality, not. Yes?
It's interesting because the system, if we take Satkaryavad, it's complete in itself, the cause and the effect. So we're looking for the effect.
Right.
Obviously, I'm the cause.
Right.
But the complete system, like really complete,
mm-hmm.
it's Krishna is the cause and I'm looking for the effect. So I'm getting the effect, but it's not because of me, but it's because of Krishna. He is
yes.
the cause.
Yes.
So this is, you know, the basic teaching of the Gita.
Yes, yes.
So we're looking for the same thing, but we just misplace the cause.
Yes, yes. We take it because we think I'm the doer. So when we understand the instrument, I think Krishna in the Gita he says, "What is it? Nimitta matram."
Yeah,
it means be the instrument. So that's the thing. We're always thinking I'm going to do and I'm going to get.
Yeah,
you know. But the point is that it's no, it's Krishna's the one. It's his potency. And if we take part, we get the credit, Krishna, because it's relationship. Krishna likes that.
Yeah.
Like that. So the more expert, the more things are great. So, but it's not based on that. You're not expert or you are expert. It's based on the mood. The mood's right, then both are nice. Because some will say, oh no, unless you're expert is like that, like we were discussing yesterday. That it's the expertise of it that makes the society more developed, moving forward and all that. The more professional, the more things and all that. Then that's the symptom that we're doing better. But at the same time is you have those who are very simple and all that, then you leave all of them out. Then you're discriminating, right? That's the fun part. We're trying to be so liberal that we become so discriminating against those who don't have the standard we have. means why is it going into the direction of the academic? That'll come from the liberal point of view. It's famous that your established educational institutions are generally led by liberals. Those who are very conservative generally aren't in the mainstream. They might be, but they'll stay out of the way. But they generally will be in schools that are based around traditional values. But for the modern media and this and that, no one hears of them. But they're there. There's a whole world going on. But so that would mean is that it's about more liberal. But if you're not educated in this particular way, then you're discriminated against. Though it's all about everybody being equal, everyone being the same. But then you're saying that everyone has that particular intelligence to rise up to that particular technical intellectual platform, which they're not. Especially if you're saying you want equal outcomes. So if you want equal outcome, that means you have to reduce the level of academic excellence down to whatever is the lowest common denominator that basically most everybody can accomplish. Right? And so then how is that then academic? You know what I'm saying? So there's severe contradictory flaws in these approaches. That's a big problem, but due to habit or whatever, then we don't necessarily see that that's what's going on. Maya is so clever. Whatever you want, she'll get. Like Prabhupada explained, we'll take stool is bad, but Maya's covered the pig, and pig thinks stool's great. So that's just the way it is. That's the covering potency. Is that wherever you're situated, you think it's fabulous. Someone else wouldn't at all.
I think we discussed it previously that there's a what's that name? Jiva Maya and then the Guna Maya.
Yes.
Jiva Maya is general.
Yes.
And then the Guna Maya is is particular, isn't it?
Specific.
Yeah, specific.
So it means the Jiva Maya is the covering and the Guna Maya is the throwing. If you put them into
Yeah,
it means you got the Sanskrit, you have those like that. It just means that it is in general, the jivas. And then guna means the specific gunas that you're in.
Yeah.
It means you have to be covered to accept it. So like that. Like you see is that you do have prisoners that are comfortable in prison. It's a regulated life. You always have a place to stay. You have food. Nothing may be great, but it's regular. And it's there. So you have some people that they're in prison for a long time. They get out, and then they just can't function outside. So then they do something that will land them back up in prison. And so then for them, it's just a comfortable lifestyle. So that's means they're covered to think that that's a great lifestyle. So then, getting at a subtler point is that when you're dealing with here, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining also the nature of the jiva, because we know Satchitananda, but he's giving the point that this is dealing when you're talking about the dynamic or the concrete. Right? Because when we're talking about the situation, the mechanics and the results, that's talking about the external, which is what is used. But why are we doing that? Why do we work with this field? Because we're attracted. Why do we perform the activity? Because of the affection. And why are we doing that work to get the experience, or to get the so-called bliss, the happiness? So those are the concrete. The others are the abstract. In the spiritual platform, there's no difference, of course. And so for us, if we talk about attraction, we won't make any difference. We'll just make it as mundane. So therefore, then you pointed out what it is, what's dealing with. But the attraction means you have the field. It's what you're attracted to. So on the spiritual platform, you're attracted to Krishna. On the material platform, you're attracted to whatever is around here that is your guna maya. Right? Right. In other words, if there's no effect of the ajnana shakti, right, then attraction is going to be to Krishna and seeing everything in relation to Krishna. Right? But if the ajnana maya is there, you're going to see it in relationship to your nature and your position. That's what I was saying before. It's not a great position to start from. I am this body, and so therefore what I do with this body must be spiritual. I'm the jiva, so what I do with this body, the jiva is spiritual, so therefore what I do with what I do with this body is spiritual. How do you say? Spiritually, it's a fatal flaw. You know? But because we're so used to it, people won't even notice that the flaw is there. Right? You know, the smartas, they think, you know, we're Brahmins, you know, so we're special and all, but that's still the material. You're the soul, not the Brahmin, like we see with Yajnik Brahmins. It was, we're Brahmins, we're doing this, you're a bunch of kids, you know, beat it. You know, and all that, and it, you know, it's they're not the famous ones because they didn't do the dance with it, right? But the wise, because of their surrender, then they, you know, came because they see themselves as serving Krishna. They're the famous ones. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So then you're going to have, then on the transcendental platform, then it's going to be Krishna's happiness, that's going to be your bliss. While in the material consciousness, it's going to be, if things work out for me, I get the results I want, that I'll call happiness. So you see, they're parallel. One's the cause, and the other is the perverted effect. So these three features, it's generally not looked in that way, because otherwise we'll just take them as material. So if only if you can distinguish between the two, the original and the reflected. Does that make sense? So therefore our attraction, our affection, and the bliss. So we see is that love for Krishna, that's going to be the dynamic aspect. That's why then the pastimes are going on. They're swarasati, they're moving. The effect, then, that's that bliss is always there, and that's because it's from Krishna's desire. But you can see is when it's applied, Govinda becomes the central. Right? Because Govinda, Lord of the senses, Lord of the gopis, Lord of the cows, means that's where the senses are applied in affection. Right? That makes sense. The goal is love for Krishna, but once you get to the goal, when that comes to the field, then it divides up like this. Like that, because love for Krishna, then it says that being Aniruddha, that comes back to Prajumna, which is in the Abhideya position. Then that's applied. So,
yeah. Yesterday I was contemplating on the Guru Gayatri, and there are two explanations that I've heard, must be more, but
okay.
that the Guru is in bliss serving Krishna, mm-hmm. and then we meditate on him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other explanation is that the Guru, he brings bliss to Krishna, and then we meditate on him who is in bliss. But then, as you explain, what is the cause and what is the effect?
Mm-hmm.
So if we meditate on the first part, it's we meditate on the effect, but we don't see necessarily the cause, which is the bliss of Krishna reflected in the Guru. But if we meditate on the second, then it's complete. The bliss of the Lord, which Guru by his service brings, this is the main goal.
Yes,
of his
yes.
service then reflects on him, and he's in the mind.
Yes, yes. I said that you have that in that. I think it's in that song. I think it's Narottam Das Thakur, Shri Rupa Manjari Pada.
Yeah.
Then he's saying about that happy, those good qualities of Rupa Manjari. Then they are shining on ourselves, and then. then, you know, we can be a servant of that or a system of that. So therefore, then, they'll reflect back. So his point is that the qualities aren't ours. The qualities are Rupa's. So if you see good qualities in the devotee, that's because there's good qualities in the Acharya. That is then reflected. So because we're in line with, when the mirror is clean, we can reflect. But they're not our qualities. Because ultimately, this soul is part and parcel of Krishna. So the qualities of the soul are qualities of Krishna. They belong to Krishna. Just like qualities of the finger belong to you, not the finger. You know? It's just like, let's say, the guy is there, you know, at the book, launch and all that, you know, the book's piled up and he's already done some readings and everything and all the, everybody's sitting around and he goes over to the table and all like that. People come, they buy books, they want him to sign and all this. But then, just as this is about to begin, then the fingers go, wait a minute, I did all the writing. He just sits there and thinks, that's not the dynamic. We're doing the writing, so we should get praise and everything. Because if we didn't write, then, you know, what would he do? Just bounce around in his head, you know, he'd go nuts. But because we write, therefore, then the world is benefit. But that's what the materialist does. Because you also have, as it's going to be in those three features, is that the guru means that then they're giving you knowledge about Krishna. Right? That's the whole thing. That's the attraction to Krishna. Right? Then the happiness in Krishna, that's coming from, you see, the middle part, from the service. The association of the devotees, service and all that, because we're never alone. Right? Wasn't that the phrase? There was never just one. Right? You know. It's dynamic there. That's the Abhideya. You know, so it's because of service and all that. Then you have the thing about that meditating on Guru and the relationship with Krishna and that and giving bliss to him because Krishnanandaya. It's about Krishna's happiness. So he's absorbed in the happiness of that. So you have all these three features. So you have Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Gayatris always have these three. That's why they're in three. Other verses are always in four. Right? Unless it's prose. But generally four is the thing. You know, at least in the classical Sanskrit. And so but it's in three for Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. I think the others are in four, then you're dealing with a Chaturvyuha. So, yeah. So then it would be complete that way, like you said. Because it's just, okay, that he's happy, so I want to be happy like him. But how is he happy? Because he's serving the previous Acharya, serving Krishna, and Krishna is happy. Therefore, he's happy. So there, we can follow in the footsteps of being happy by pleasing the guru who's pleasing Krishna. So that's the difficulty. Sometimes we stop it right at the guru, and then because of that, then he has to be so fabulous. But fabulous is, it's connected to Krishna. That's what makes it fabulous. You know, I take this little brass plate that I bought at Navadvip, right? And I put some flowers on it, and then I offer it to Krishna. So the plate is spiritual, but it's because it's such a fabulous brass plate. You know, the guy in Navadvip made it with such loving attention and the details and how good it is or anything. Or is it one of those ones that after a couple of years, you know, then the edge and the bottom separate because it wasn't actually pounded and that it was welded together and it falls apart? But it's spiritual because it's used in connection with Krishna. That's the primary thing. Then you look at how the quality of it, how it can be engaged. You know, how what's the use of it? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, then you have the problem of, you know, Sri Radhika Madhava Yorapara Nikunjayuno, and people are freaking out. It says, you know, I made this guy a devotee. How is he Nikunjayuno Ratikele Siddhaya? You know, I know who the guy is. You know, of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave a story on that, you know, about the kid who is running around naked, you know, in the village when he's a little kid, and then he grows up and now he's, you know, a minister, and the other guy's, what? He's not a minister. He can never be a minister. Yeah, he's that kid that runs around naked in the village. He gives that story. But whatever it is, because we're not looking at it connected to Krishna. So if we have a problem here, it's because we're not seeing the connection to Krishna. We're just seeing, oh, he can't see Krishna. He can't be observed. Because the point is we're serving the servant. We do something. We offer it to this guru. He offers it to the previous acharyas. Where does that go? It ends up with Radha and Krishna. So that's how it's in the Kunjayuno Radhikali Sidya. It's not that he has to be, you know, in the apricot pastimes because he's come to the, you know, the Vastu Siddhya. It means that because he's doing sincerely, serving his spiritual master, then we, connecting to that, will serve. Because otherwise, if we say, well, he's not like that, that means that nobody serving him can be like that. You know what I'm saying? Because it goes, you know, these things have a nasty, what do you call it? Oh, I think there's a saying, the knife cuts both ways.
Yeah.
You know, so then that would mean then you're not Rakti Kela Siddhya. That means then you preaching to all these people is also useless. Because you can't connect them to Krishna, because it's, you have to do it yourself without the parampara. You know what I'm saying? Or it's the other way around. Oh, it's not them, it's parampara and this and that. Yes, but they've made the effort. Just like Krishna. Arjuna didn't kill anyone on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna arranged it. But because he made the endeavor to please Krishna, he gets the credit. So Krishna's like, if everything's him and he's doing everything, then how do you have rasa unless it's credited to the devotees? That's how Krishna likes to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we see as these fundamental principles, like you're saying, of the Satkaryavad, then when you see it, then you see actually how it works. Then it becomes complete when you take it all the way back to Krishna's pleasure. The Icha is his desire. You know, just like it's Krishna's desire to deal with all the devotees, you have all these different flavors, therefore then there's all these different realms. Right? You know, you have Gokul, then you have, you know, Swetadweep and, you know, Goloka, then you have Vaikuntha, then you have the material manifestation. So all these things are all Krishna's pastimes, because you have living entities that have the moods to match all of these. Because he has these unlimited energies, that means all of them have these various features. The spiritual has all that variety, so all the spiritual energies then deal with these aspects. The jivas then become energy will deal with these aspects. No? And even in the material world, being a reflection, it will have those same aspects. That's why we can give analogies to things here and get an idea of what's there. Because it's a reflection. It may be reversed. You ever notice that they say someone's let's say you have something on the right side of your face.
Yeah.
Now if I want to tell you that you have something on the right side of your face effectively, I have to go, you have something here. And where will you touch? Yeah. If I go the right side of my face, you'll touch the left side.
Yeah.
Because it's reversed.
Yeah.
Like that. So you have to deal. I noticed that a long time ago. I'd always go this and they'd go left. Then I figure out, okay, it's on that. You use mirror.
Yeah.
You know, like you're using a mirror, then it works.
I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives that example.
Uh-huh.
He says that the origin and the reflection in the mirror
mm-hmm.
look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
But if you be careful, like you mentioning, mm-hmm. is that the left there is our right,
mm-hmm.
and the right there is our left.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks
exactly the same.
Yeah, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. It's reversed.
He uses that example.
Yeah, so that's the perverted reflection. Perverted just means it's been, it doesn't say distorted, it says perverted, it's reversed. Now you can, on that perversion, create a distortion.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, it's like the waves on the lake.
Yes, that's then distortion.
Yeah.
But if it's perfectly still, it's a perversion because it's reversed.
Yeah.
But now, if there's little waves, then it becomes distorted.
Yeah.
The gopis couldn't hide their bhava. Okay, next is bhava the gopis has enunciated with suitable examples. The gopis couldn't hide their bhava. Do you have? Oh, it means in this we can't put, what do you call it?
Dash.
Yeah. Means over the bhav, the long.
Okay.
Diacritic.
Yes.
Because otherwise, then bhava will be.
Mm-hmm.
That's us. They have bhav, we have bhav.
Bhava dhava dhinirbhav.
Yeah. You know, as much as one devotee is going to pop. So, you know, you gave me this name. You know, the ecstasy of, you know, devotional service. And he says, no, it's about the happiness in the material world. When they saw Krishna leaving Braja, and thus they acted in an insane way. Wow, that's so far. And insane is insane. It's like right in line. That's it. They acted in an insane way, revealing their uncontrollable mahabhava. Oh, here you have it. Okay, you can't put it. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that such behavior is appropriate on the part of the gopis as they attain Krishna as their husband, and he is the only real husband as stated by Pingala. Satisfied, having faith in the Lord and maintaining myself with whatever comes of its own accord, I shall enjoy life with only the Lord because he is the real source of love and happiness. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.8.40. The author, Srila Jiva Goswami, further elaborates why one shouldn't consider the relationship between the gopis and Krishnas as adharmic. Rasa with adharma is of two types. Parakya, relationship with a woman dependent on another, a husband. And parasparsha, relationship with a woman touched by another man.
Man's relationship with him.
Oh, okay, so parasparsha means she doesn't have a husband, but she's still touched by another man that isn't her, going to be her, or isn't her husband. And the one is touched by someone else other than the husband. Okay. In the assembly of Parikit, yes, even the Parakya has subdivisions. In the assembly of Parikit, which was filled with Aishwarya Jnana, adharmic love was rejected and rasa was produced according to explanations of Aishwarya Jnana. They were eternally married to Krishna in apricot pastimes. In the assembly of Gokula, filled with prema, the problem was resolved in order to act according to earthly vision, getting married. Taking support of Lokavat Lila Kaivalya, the Lord performs actions as pastimes, absorbed in them like a person in this world, Brahma Sutra 2.1.33. Brahma Sutra is even dealing with this. That means, how would I say, there has to be a different approach to Brahma Sutras.
Yeah.
I mean, it's explaining all these things, but in sutra form and in such a way that it's nyaya prastan. So it's all through logic and everything like that. But what it's talking about is.
So it is possible to come to this conclusion right from the verse itself.
Yeah, it means if you actually understand what is abhida shakti, the abhida. Meaning is. See, that's grammarians will take it that according to, you know, general usage and the particular way they would use the word, that's direct. But actually, direct means its connection to Krishna. That's a direct meaning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, whether it means the words themselves are saying what they want to say, they're not doing a poetic thing.
Yeah.
That would normally be called. It's non-poetic. It doesn't mean it's not saying nicely, but it's not taking poetic license. So therefore, that would be direct, taking poetic license, that's indirect. But actually, both of them are indirect if it's not about Krishna, and both of them are direct if it's about Krishna. So that's why when it says you should take the direct meaning, it means you should take the direct meaning connected to Krishna. Just like in the material world, there's piety and impiety. But actual piety is connected to Krishna, and impiety is not connected. So therefore, the most qualified smarta here is still impious because it's not connected to Krishna. You could say, no, but he's doing so nice. Yeah, this life, and what is it going to be next life? You know, what was he a few lifetimes ago? So how is it pious? You're staying in the material world. It's just like, let's say you have a prison. Now, in general, according to society, anyone in prison is, there's some impiety there. Right? But within the prison, you'll make a distinction between, you know, who follows the rules, who behaves themselves, doesn't create trouble. They will be, you know, good prisoners. And those who make trouble in that will be bad prisoners. So within the prison, there's good prisoners, bad prisoners, right? Or you call pious and impious in that environment. But for the outside, they're both. So the same way as if you interpret it not connected to Krishna, it's an impious, you know, or a indirect meaning. So indirect only becomes valuable when it's connected to Krishna. Once it's connected, it's not different. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be literal. It could be direct and not literal.
Yes.
Because Srila Prabhupada, he chastises my bodies very often and strongly.
Yes.
Because they always interpret the direct verses.
Mm-hmm.
By Lakshanavriti, by him direct,
yes,
looking for something which isn't there.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So that's why the literal meaning for us, what does that mean? Who's giving? Literal means it's about Krishna. So as the Acharyas translate the Sanskrit, showing its connection to Krishna, and its meaning connection to Krishna, if that's not taken as literal, and you say no, something more how it's being used, you know, how the dictionary says and how the local, you know, what is that called when it's locally applied? Or people accept it?
Laukika.
Yeah, Laukika. If you take Laukika as literal, then it's a very, very unfortunate situation. Because one's so illusioned, one doesn't actually know what's real and what's not. Because you're taking literal meaning real, but you don't know what's real. If it's not showing Krishna, because Lord Chaitanya says everything is discussing sambandha abhidaya prayojana. It's all discussing about relationship, process, and result in connection with Krishna. He's the center of all relationships. Applying that into your own life and acting in a way to please Krishna, that's all the Veda is talking about. Like we saw, we just read the
Brahma
Sutra, and that, and so that's what it's saying. So acharyas can show. You can say, "Oh, that's an interpretation." No, that is the interpretation. That's the interpretation. Anything else is an interpretation. So therefore, there's one Bhagavad Gita as it is, and then there's 645 other. So one is real, and all the others are an interpretation. So one has to be very, very careful of these, because they're very subtle. Maya is very subtle. You know, she doesn't come and hit you in the face. You know, she makes it look interesting, and then when you're interested, then gunamayi. You know, then you get placed into your particular modes. Yeah.
Also, the direct meaning is that which brings you closer to the absolute truth. The direct meaning is it should be connected to the absolute truth.
Yes.
That's why Vedanta.
Yes.
It's
the absolute truth.
Yeah.
Yes, and then of the absolute truth, then the personal, of the personal, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. And of that, then it's about, you know, Krishna's desire. So.
Yeah. Well, the difficulty, especially in the 10th canto, we come across is that both Sanatana Goswami and Jiva Goswami commenting on the Krishna Leela, they say it could mean this and give the explanation. Then they go further and say it could mean this, and then and it's like sometimes it's four or five or even six explanations.
Yes.
And it's all direct.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yes.
Because on that point, it's because there is direct explanation and there is rasa. Both form the soul of any literature. So there can be many direct explanations which is consistent with one rasa that is being expressed. That's why there can be more than one.
Yeah. So it'd be the tastes and different angles, because there's so many angles of vision. But it's all why you can have unlimited angles of vision is because Krishna is the center of it. Right? You know, someone's looking from here, someone's over there looking from there, someone's over there looking from there. It's like that. I think there's two verses in Nectar Devotion where this principle, I think he's giving the relationship, he gets many things done at once. I think one of them's that, and also then many people see him in different ways. But basically the situation is similar, is that the when Krishna comes into Vrindavan, you know, from herding the cows, and all the different individuals there, devotees, see him in different relationships. Same boy. Mm-hmm. You know, the cowherd boy is their friend, he's the hero, you know, he just killed this demon and that. And we're his equals, so therefore, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we're all cool, you know.
Like, we share his glory.
Yeah, like that, because they're all friends. But it's centered on him. But as they become glorious because of that center of him, that Mother Jashoda sees the perfect son, you know, then the gopis, they see the perfect lover, you know, cows are seeing Krishna as that, you know, the perfect, you know, absolute, or the perfect, you know, master, like this. So everyone's seeing. And then, so that's the thing, is you can have all these different aspects. And because one thing, if everything comes back to one point, that means that one point has unlimited ways to approach it. Like we take sambandha day and prayojana, you can apply it everywhere. Like here, we're taking cause and effect. Generally that will always be cause and effect means the clay and the pot. That's generally what we're going to deal with.
Yeah.
But we just applied it to cause and effect means Krishna's pleasure, therefore Guru's pleasure, therefore your pleasure. So it goes all the way back. You know, we start here because one is once logic, so we start at the platform of logic where we can start to discuss it. But it actually goes all the way back. So this whole idea is that, no, the literal means this. It's, no, it doesn't. Literal means what the acharyas said. That's literal. And if you come up with anything else, that is an opinion. What the acharyas, they say, acharyas, you know, what you're saying here, oh, but they give different things. No, but they're perfect. They're showing the different features of Krishna. And in this, like this, and then there's that, and because you could be looking at, let us just take rasa itself. We could be looking at it, means generally when we describe it, we could be looking at it from just the individual living entity's attraction to Krishna. Right? And then discussing the whole thing of attraction, and how, you know, we're attracted to the material world, we have to give that up and become attracted to Krishna, and everything like that. So, they may be discussing rasa, but in that point of that attraction. But to explain it to us, we're dealing how we're here, we're attracted to all these things here, we have to give that up, and then we can be attracted to Krishna. But you keep going up the line, and you're talking about the Sthayi Bhava, the rati. Right? It's rati is the attraction. When it becomes applied into rasa, all five features, then together, that's called Sthayi Bhava. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just calling it the attraction to Krishna. Because then it becomes fixed. Once you come to prema, it's fixed. Before that, you have the nature, but you could be doing or not, like you see Bharat Maharaj. He's on the Uttama platform, but it's not completely fixed. You know, it might be 99, you know, or mean 99.9, though it's not 99.99. You know, so because of that, then there was a mistake. But once you come to prema, that won't happen. So that pastime points out that, you know, you should always be careful. No matter until you come to prema, then like that. But persons on prema will never make that mistake. That's why it's prema. It's 100% exclusively focused on Krishna. So, so these things are there. That you have the whole, because it's Krishna is the origin. That means you can explain it in you know, Brajabhakti with Krishna and Radharani and Mahabhava. You can explain it with the parental rasa, the cowherd boys, the cows. You can come down into Sweta Dweep, you know, then into that, you know, a little bit into Vaikuntha, then into the material world. You know, within the material world, you can explain it on the different things, the modes of this, that. But it's the same thing. It has all the way down, because it's Krishna all the way down. Everything's Krishna. So that means there's nothing that doesn't connect all the way back. So you'll see, I mean, I can't give a specific thing, but I remember seeing when we first started dealing, when we first had introduced the Sandarbha into the Bhagavatam course. We just had a section on Sandarbha stuff. It wasn't worked in then. Before it was, we did the Bhagavatam, then the Sandarbha. Then we put it together. Mm. So then I noticed that one of the times he's explaining some technical point, in the same sentence, he says the tattva aspect, and then he says the rasa aspect in the second half of the sentence. You must have come across things like this. So because they're non-different. So Prabhupada's talking to us, and we're thinking, okay, well, that's basic philosophy. What about that? But he's thinking rasa. You don't have the taste of your rasas now with the material world. And Krishna, in his potency as maya, and the external energy, that's where you have your rasa with Krishna. And so the soul can't be satisfied until that comes to, then it's on Krishna. When the attraction is actually the Krishna, the person. Because even if you have attraction to Krishna as Brahman or as Paramatma, you're still not going to be satisfied, because it's only dealing with one or two aspects of the soul. In the material world, you're dealing with the three aspects of the soul, different proportions, but they're in a perverted, distorted condition. So it only becomes clear and not distorted when it's focused on Krishna, when you have faith in Krishna. In other words, someone who can take up sadhana bhakti, you know, even just like, say, a friend of Krishna. They believe in Krishna. They may not have taken up, they haven't gone to the point of sadhusanga where they've taken up bhajan kriya. But they have that faith, but they're distracted by other things. They don't have other... But that clarity of who they are and who Krishna is, who God is, that's proper. Then, when they take up... So they're the real theistic moralists. You know how much they follow that? But now, or the beginning of it, then you're following the rules and regulations, sadhana bhakti, that presents you, now you're acting on the platform as the soul. Before that, you're acting as in the realm of karma, but you see it's all connected to Krishna. Like that. But then you see it in sadhana, then it brings you to anandamaya, then the bhava bhakti. And that reaches its perfection in prema. Right? So, because that's spiritual. So spiritual starts there and goes up. So you have that faith in Krishna, then you start to act in that as a sadhaka, and then you come to bhava and prema. Well, for the materialists, they're the same levels are you know, you see there, but they're contained within the material world. So they believe in God in as much as, you know, pleasing Him, I please myself. So I please God for artha and kama. And then doing that, with time you kind of leave God and then go more into artha and more into kama. And then you get frustrated, so then you go into moksha. So even though it looks like the sadhaka and the jnani are on the same platform of vijnanamaya, but actually the devotee, his vijnanamaya is complete in satchit and ananda. While the others, it's only sat. And if it's yogis, then chit. And that's only partial. It's just a little flavor of it. It's not very significant. It's enough to impress them that they'll work. But so their cycle of there and the devotee cycle aren't connected. They're the same field. You know, it's just like the devotee, you know, is the using the what do you call it? The field. You know, for how it will please Krishna. Like you go out on the street. You're going out to do some service for Krishna. Karmi goes out on the street, how can we enjoy? You know, what can we do? Okay, we got some time. Hey, what can we do? You know, or the devotee is thinking, oh, you know, I got some time. He says, you know, I wanted to go into this shop and get this thing but I haven't had time. You know, go get that for some service. And so then you take the opportunity. So two different worlds, even though they're seemingly in the same place, they're not. The devotee is technically liberated. How much he understands it, that's another thing. But the karmi is not liberated no matter how elevated and wonderful qualities and expertise and knowledge and all these things or what they've done, amazing things. They're still working within the material sphere. It's still just an illusion. You know, I mean, it's there, but it's still illusory that you attribute it to the soul. It's just the monks. So that aspect is that they're talking there, and then there's that. Then if we talk about Vibhava, you know, that there's the Ashray, Vishray, and there's the, you know, Alambana, there's the Udipan. You can apply that to material rasa. Then experiencing that, then you can experience the Anubhava, so that's where you want to do something, that's the Abhideya kind of aspect. You know, you want to do something, that's where the dynamic aspect is. Then you're going to have the physical effects of that. Then you're going to have the mental, you know, transitory effects. So you can explain all that here, and that Bharat Muni's explained it. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, entertainers can use it. The entertainers, the poets, the writers, they can all use that. And how well they use it is actually how well they do. In other words, how close you bring it to what Bharat Muni says, then it's good. Like we saw, you have big, world famous, you know, kind of theatrical entertainment going on. The whole world is enthralled because they've finally gotten to the point where they're closer to Bharat Muni. You know, you have the heroes qualified, the heroines qualified, they're getting closer together, they're doing good work, like this, it's all going on, right? Before that, they were doing their own thing, you know, groveling around in the gutter and all this and that, and it had a small following. But as it got closer to what Bharat Muni's talking about, then they got a world following. Then having that, then they fell back into their digging around in the garbage kind of thing. And then when they ended the thing, just people decide, I'm not having anything to do with this. Because the ending's so bad, it has nothing to do. It's just like, well, but I wanted the thing. It's my idea. I want to do this. I'm free. I'm independent. Yes, but be free and independent on your own. Don't try to include everyone else. They get involved because they had some faith that you're taking in the proper direction, you know, according to the rules of poetry. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so then they just they destroy themselves. And then you see the fun part is they think, you know, well, we wrapped it up. We're going to go, we have some other, because you know, they've done so well, we have some other thing that we're going to go for and we're going to make it even bigger there. And as they go there, and then the guys, where they go, they kick them out. Because they found, we can't, because they became so proud that we're the guys, we know what we're doing and all that. And they say, well, that's not what we want. Psh, gone. You know, so I'm saying, so the closer you keep it to Bharat Muni, it works. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing, is you can say, oh, that's old, that's stale, it's this and that, but trying to do your own thing is also old and stale, because it's always the same old thing. Like, every modern architect does something modern and different from everyone else, but if you compare all of them, they all basically look the same. You know, you can say, no, but it's so different. You know, they saw one building in the, I think it's the University of Sydney. It looks like the paper bag that you take lunch, you put your sandwich in and take the lunch. Mm-hmm. It looks like a paper bag. Very expensive, made very difficult, you know, to get all the curves and everything. And it looks like a paper bag. Huge. I mean, you know, like a, I don't know how many story, but it's a big, big paper bag. But, you know, someone else does this and that, but it's the same kind of concept. But, you know, come back in a few years, who wants to look at a paper bag? I mean, your mom puts your sandwich in one every day. You look at it every day. Who cares? And then after you water it up and toss it out. You know? Or if you're being more considerate, then you fold it up and put it into the appropriate brown paper, waste bin rather than the, you know, colored paper, the white paper. You know, so So, but it's not. But people will still go and look at the Colosseum 1,000 years later. I guarantee you there's no one in Sydney on their marriage day in their full, you know, the girl in the full white and the guy in the tux, that they're standing in front of that building taking pictures. But in Rome, everyone who gets married in Rome all the time, they have to go and take a picture of that. It's just part of the scene, you know. If you don't have it, hey, where's your picture in front of the Colosseum? You know, so, oh, it's, you know, it was COVID. They wouldn't let us out, you know, like that. Oh, okay. You know, it's just, it's classic. People still talk about that. They don't talk about these buildings. And they won't. So that's the thing. Every Bauhaus looks the same. It's just glass. You know, okay, so it's a square glass or it's an octagonal glass, but it's just a glass building. Okay, whoopee. You know, they say, oh, but the other one's just arches and that. But how they do it, each one, you see, the arches are unique. And it, and we can say, well, this is unique. But then people come back to look at the classic. They don't come back to look at yours. Well, yeah, it's just the way it is. So that kind of aspect is one has to understand is that there's a standard. You know, that is rasa. And so Bharat Muni's documented that. But he's documented in such a way that you can use it for spiritual rasa, or you can use it for its reflection of the material rasa. But if you don't use it, to that degree you'll be successful. To that degree you don't use it, to that degree you won't be successful. So it's Krishna's laws, it's Krishna's nature. So we have to see is that, therefore, why? Because it's his pleasure. This is how he wants it to work. So if the material world is meant for the living entity to come, bring themselves closer to Krishna, that means bringing themselves closer to things that please Krishna. That means bringing yourself closer to those activities that are pleasing to Krishna. Therefore, what's recommended in the Shastra, that's the easiest way to act to please Krishna as a form. If you can't relate to it, okay, use whatever you have and what your identification of what's good and bad, as long as it's not against the Vedic literature. And that, because that's mentioned in Manu, that when the king establishes his authority over another kingdom or another region, then those local laws and customs that aren't opposed to the Vedic version, he leaves in place. He doesn't go, well, that's stupid. He leaves it in place. That's the way the people like to do it. You know, it's just like, you know, the Vedic law, you know, that the tradition that the girl's side of the family then approaches the boy's side of the family and makes an arrangement for marriage. Right? But I mentioned there's that village up in the, you know, kind of the Himalaya, the lower Himalayas, you know, somewhere, I don't know where it is, you know, where it goes up north, Himachal, or where, you know, there's Dune, Dehradun, and you keep going up north. There's a village there that if it's kind of worked out, a girl likes a boy and wants to marry him, she goes up and knocks on the door of his house. You know, so it's a village, so it's not so big. Then she knocks on the door of the house. And then when he comes to the door, then she says something or does something, I can't remember what, or hands him something. And then she runs. And then the custom is if he can catch her before she gets to her house and enters her house, then he can marry her. Mm-hmm. But if she gets to the house first, then, you know. And, you know, what girl wants to marry a guy who's either too dull to figure out what went on or runs too slow anyway? You know, so what he's going to do for you. So, you know, it's you know, one of those, what do you call it? You know, test by fire, you know, whether it's worthwhile or not. You know, she thought it was good, but then you have to see that it actually was. So it's not against the Vedic version, since it's the girl's side of the family that's approaching the boy. And it's a village, so it's all open, so nothing's going to go on that shouldn't go on. You know, like that. And so it's strange, you know, compared to how others make the arrangements. But if it's not against the Vedic principle, it still is the girl is satisfied with this boy and wants to marry this boy, and then he has to prove himself, you know, by qualification, rather than he has to be an engineer, a lawyer, have this much money or this and that, like if you come down into the cities, he just has to be able to figure out what happened and run quick enough to catch him. You know, in general, boys can run faster than girls, so it should be that it works out. You know, unless he's, you know, just, he sits there and goes, what? And then she lives next door, that's going to be a real problem, right? You know, if she's on the other side of the village, better chance. Right? So, like that. So they'll leave that in place. That's just the way it's done. You know, so then he's doing, having the court, and then the people come and say, no, no, but, you know, he's supposed to marry this girl, and he can ask, did he catch the girl? Well, no, but, you know, he didn't understand what's going on. He didn't catch, so he doesn't marry the girl. You know, but if it was in some other place, you know, he's supposed to be, so did you go, did your family go to their family and have the discussions and all that? No, no, then what do you expect? You want to marry your son to marry this girl. You as parents have to go there. Some member of the family or a relative or somebody has to go and start working it out. No, but it just should happen because pure love is beyond all the rules. So it just should happen and all that. And isn't that what happens in the Bollywood movies? You know, like that, you know, stuff. No. So then they're just going to say. So that's the thing, it's not against the rules, and it stays. So yes, you will have that those aspects. You know, it's just like he's saying, this kind of thing, then this is going to be appreciated by the intellectuals, you know, the poets and all that. And this will be appreciated by this group of people, and for the general mass, it's more, how you say, loud and rowdy and all that kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it depends, it mentions. So therefore, if you're doing it, if you're doing a general audience kind of thing, you know, which generally the Vedic is, then you'll have elements of all of it there. So those elements will be interspersed throughout, but you'll be doing, you know, one thing at a time. So then, you know, there's points that will bring up the intellectuals who are inspired, the other people inspired, the general group is inspired, and therefore all the way through and everybody's happy. Hence, Rupa Goswami wrote those plays for, what was it, 20 years or 30 years before he finished them.
Yeah.
You know, then you have it, each one is perfect, each word is perfect, each syllable is perfect, and all that. Yeah. Okay. Krishna's Maya, capable of anything, starting from the time they were married to their apparent husbands, made arrangements of false forms for his dear gopis, who had attraction only for him, in order to protect their morality, since his Maya is most careful in these matters. Thus the bhava expressed by the gopis is appropriate on all levels. So here you have the bhava.
Mm, yeah.
It's also up here, the bhava of the gopis. Then they said, thus hide the bhava. Yeah, so just...
Yeah.
So now what? Thinking that what I was mentioning about the attraction, the love, and the bliss, yes, that explains the three of Lord Chaitanya. Because I had never thought of it like that, because I'd always put the love up at Prayojana. No, that's the experience, the bliss is there, the love is actually the middle. That you have love of God, that's the goal, that's the Prayojana. But when you're operating, it's because of love, you know, it's because of their attraction to Krishna and they want to do something for Krishna. That's why the rasa moves. So I was thinking, that then explains, that I know of, that directly explains the three features, the internal features. And then that can be the thing for us to show the other side, how it applies to us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's Shikshamrita. That's that one place where he's talking. After, I think, when he talks pure knowledge, mm-hmm, or the features of pure knowledge, and then one of them, I think, talks about the jiva. Mm-hmm. So in there, at the end, that near the end of the discussion, he mentions these three. The attraction means the attraction, the love, and the bliss. These then are the complete aspects of the soul.
Okay.
Like that. So that's sat, chit, and ananda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it seems that chit is much broader than describing it before. You know, it's not just the action, it's the whole mood, it's the whole intent, it's the qualities, the knowledge, mm-hmm, and skills being applied. You know, it's like it's the whole package is there because it gives the ananda. So the results coming out of it are actually from there. It's the anandas, the prajna, that I got results. That's just if they're not offered to Krishna. Like I can do an action and get a result, but it doesn't become prajna until I offer it. You know, like that. And only when I offer it, then it becomes. Then it's made Krishna. Like the sannyas means it is all along. You know, it already has that connection. Renunciation means I do it as mine, so that means it's still part of the. It's the result of the action,
yeah.
But it's still technically it's not the prayojana, because the prayojana means Krishna's pleasure. So that makes sense. Because in another, if we look at it from the mundane, we could say, "No, but he got the result." But the point is okay. If you are doing an action to get a result to make yourself happy, if you do the action, get the result, and you're not happy. Like you're thinking, oh man, I really want to do this activity like that, you know, because that, you know, I hear everybody else, it's fabulous, I'll be happy. Then you finally get the opportunity to do the activity, and when you get the results, it doesn't make you happy, you don't do it anymore. So it's not the effect, it's what you, is the goal. It's your happy is the goal. So therefore, unless Krishna is pleased, you actually can never be pleased. So the sum of it becomes that central thing. It's the thing that connects the two, you know, the situation and the experience. You know, because otherwise, our forms, Krishna's forms, the dham, the paraphernalia is all expanded by the sum of it. It's manifest by the sum of it potency, right? Or sandini potency, right? And we're talking about the, you know, ecstasy of devotional service. That's going to be the hladini. So that means everything else is in the middle. So it's much bigger. But at the same time, is you have to understand the field has its whole thing. All the knowledge is there. I can explain all the knowledge that you would apply. And that's going to be sambandhagyan. But until you apply it, it doesn't become abhideya. So abhideya is that you do apply it. You know, so prajumna is also that knowledge of that, and aniru is that knowledge of that, but when it's vasudeva, it means it includes all three, so therefore now, centered around him, being performed for him and for his pleasure, now you get the full package. And then you get the... Okay. Okay, so that is what they say. Anucheta 177. The cause of the gopis attaining Krishna in both prakat and aprakat pastimes is their bhava. Having entered the aprakat pastimes, they attained his sarup. Another verse shows this. Matkama ramanam charam asvarupa vidho bala brahmamam paramam prapu sangachchata sahastra saha. All those hundreds of thousands of gopis desiring me, the supreme Brahman, not knowing my form of power, attained me, a lover who gave them pleasure because of association. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.13. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Thus they attained me, desiring me, they attained me. Okay, thus they attained me. Desiring me, they attained me, the Supreme Brahman, who gave pleasure to them, Ramanam, Sukadev said. Krishna, seeing those... Oh, Sukadev said is the next one. Or is that one?
Sukadev said, then he's explaining.
He's explaining, and then Sukadev said. Okay. Krishna, seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, decided to give pleasure to the gopis using his yoga maya, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.1. They attained me, not as a husband, but as a lover, jaram. That's why he says because of association, not because of marriage. Right? They did not know my sarup of power, since they experienced only my great sweetness, or the meaning of Aishwarya Rupa, Asvarupa Vidaha can be, quote, they did not attain Swarupya, form similar to mine like other devotees. End quote. Right, so then it's also, they didn't attain forms like the others did, because they're also, that will be also the Sandini, the Sandini's expanding those aspects, is that's your, you can say is how the Braj runs, right? Braj runs because of the parents, the cowherd boys and the servants. But the real flavor is then in the Haladini, in the gopis, the Kanjimok. That's the actual thing, but you have to have a place. Like if it's a village and the cowherd, who's doing the cowherd stuff? Right? The parents, the boys, you know, the cows. Cows are doing cow stuff, you know, pretty standard. Right? If you see a cow walk in a three-piece suit and carrying a briefcase, you know there's something wrong there. Okay. If they had attained form similar to Krishna, Krishna could not perform rasa dance with them. Another meaning of Asvara Vidaha is they did not know the beauty of their own forms, but experienced the beauty of my form. Or another meaning is gopis whose sarupas no one knew. Sardartha Darshani 11, 12, 13. So this is what you're talking about. They give them, but these are different angles. Like one is they didn't attain, means you can take it on there. He didn't attain the sarup that Krishna has, because then how will they dance with him if they're the same sarup? Right, so they don't merge into him, they didn't take on the same, you know, how was they think? Because, you know, there's like in Vaikuntha, they all have the same form, exactly here. But we know that sarup, what do you call it? Sarupya means they have forms compatible, perfect for associating with. So the Lord of Vaikuntha has the four arms, and then his associates all have the four arms in the same kind of position. And that way, you know, it means the same. So then it's perfect for interacting as the Lord. You know, he's the Lord, so therefore the Lord has the most amazing servants. Right? But here, as he's the Lord of sweetness, so therefore they all have forms that perfectly match that sweetness. Right? You know, like you see is when the gopis are talking about Krishna's sweetness, the much of the time, I mean, many times they're talking about Krishna and Balaram. You know how nice they look and how they're going, because they all match so well. You know, and then there's times when they're talking just about Krishna. But they're appreciating, you know, the sweetness and the wonderfulness when he's taking out and herding the cows. How he's dressed as a cowherd boy and a rope on his shoulder. Like we never hear when he's hanging out with Radharani that he's got a rope on his shoulder. Right? You ever heard any mantra, Pasanamayi mantra? A Krishna with Radharani and he's got a rope on his shoulder, or a buffalo. I mean, somehow or another, that's not there. Or they left them, or, you know, Yoga Maya, or whatever it is not there. But then when he's coming and he's with him, but it doesn't say he doesn't have it. You know what I'm saying? But it's not important for their interaction. But with the cowherd boys, it's important. And the gopis are appreciating how he's going out. He's got his rope on his shoulder, he's got his buffalo horn, he's got his flute. Yeah. You know, it's all the minerals, you know, they decorate themselves with that, and the peacock feathers, and whatever else is around, you know, in season, certain flowers or this, I'm sure they're going to decorate with that. No?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like that. Another meaning is that they did not know the beauty of their own forms. They're so beautiful, but they're only looking at Krishna, they're seeing Krishna's beauty. And he's appreciating theirs because they try to make themselves beautiful, you know, as girls, nature of the girls to do, but they didn't. They were in such a rush to meet Krishna that they didn't necessarily do a great job. So when they went as they were. How they dressed themselves, they went as they were. You know, it's just like, let's say you're putting on your ankle bells and then you think about your cloth or your shawl or something and they're already down there. Some of them tied it onto their ankle. You know, they're there putting that on. Oh, I got to wear that. And I'll tie it on because they're just thinking about Krishna. They're not thinking of... And so they go. And so Krishna saw them like that because they're so enthusiastic to meet Krishna. Therefore, then... they didn't notice how they were addressed, and so that feature then will be very attractive to Krishna. That they're so attracted to him that they were so impatient they couldn't even dress properly. Having seen and appreciated that, Then Yogamaya adjusted everything so that they're all dressed the way they would have wanted to be to meet Krishna. Means in their minds they put the thing on, they've done everything, you know, they put on, they did their eye like that, but then they only did one, you know, does that make sense? You know, or they're so quick, they got the dupa, they put it on, they put the sari on as the gagra, they put the gagra on as the sari, you know, things like that, they did all this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And here, or say, use it in that context. Dupatta is a short sari. Before, the dupatta was longer. Like if you look at the paintings of the, you know, those Rajasthani paintings? You know, Sharma knows well as that they're wearing the ghagra or the skirt.
Yeah.
Then the dupatta doesn't come down just to the skirt and stop. It keeps going around and it's folded and put in the front. So you have this, the skirt on, then you have the other one, you fold that, and then you put that and it goes all the way around. So technically that's the sari. So when people say, oh, they didn't wear saris, that's a new thing, Muslims invented. Have they looked where the Muslims come? Have you looked at what Muslims wear? Do anyone in their own, in Turkey, do they dress like this? Or on the steppes of Mongolia, do they dress like this? It's like, you know, you wonder what's between the ears of these personalities. I mean, the IQ is very high, but it's what should be studied is how cow dung can have so much IQ. No?
I don't know.
You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So it's just IQ simply means the ability to tell things apart until they give you things. Can you tell, you know, out of this, what's the difference between these nine? Or they give you a whole bunch of things and then say, which one of these doesn't match? And you have to be able to figure out what is the common thing between all of them that one or two of them don't match. So that kind of brain they have. But to come to a conclusion, that is not. They're simply, what's the difference? What's the same? But they're just testing. They're testing the quality of the mechanical instrument of intelligence. But how the soul, with their mind and their samskars, will use it, that they have zero test for.
It's only what they call IQ. See if you're quantitative and reasoning, logical
yes.
reasoning.
Ability. Yes, yeah.
But even the practical knowledge cannot be checked to IQ.
No, no. That's the thing. Is that people who know that IQ is simply you have that good of a machine. You know, just like let's say I have a 2,000 watt blender, right? You know, someone else has a 600 watt blender. So my 2,000 watt blender is a better blender. But that does not say anything for the quality of preparation that will come out of that blender. That depends upon the cooking ability of the individual. You know, I can take someone who can't cook at all, put them in, you know, a 5-star, you know, kitchen, and what they cook will still be bad. So, but no one wants to mention that. It's just that, oh, he's got 174 IQ, so he must be the smartest guy. But it's how he uses it, whether he's smart or not. You know, so it's like Caesar was smart, but in the end it seems Brutus was smarter. No? But still not smart enough, so therefore Augustus was the smartest.
Yeah. He just observed all life from the side and then figured it out, the whole thing, just by observation, action.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, sick and, you know, he couldn't fight. And
yeah, but he got every one of those senators.
Yeah.
Means all 30 of them got one guy, and he as one guy got all 30 of them.
Yeah.
Like that. So. Who has the brain, right? So IQ is not enough. It's good. Someone has a high IQ. That's really good. But at the same time, this is how you use it. So.
Yeah, it's like in that example that you mentioned, Because it's a classic example, the earth and the pot. But what about the potter? Where's the potter?
Very good point. No one thinks about the potter yet. Because they're not discussing the quality of the pot.
Because everybody thinks, oh yeah, it makes sense. The earth is the cause and the pot is the effect. But who connects the two? It's not like earth, you know, slowly, shape in itself into a pot.
It depends who you ask, you know. In other words, if he has a degree in physics, then that's what happened.
Well, yeah, it's a very slow process anyway. Even if it happens, it's going to take...
Well, that's what they do. It's like, it happened over millions of years. Yeah.
One pot in the millions of years,
how can you call that science? Yeah, that's the whole thing. So why isn't it coming up now? That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Says if people were coming from monkeys, you still see now and again people coming from monkeys. If it's been an established thing, there's so many people, that means how did you get that? It means there must be so many people coming out of monkeys. So, you know, as it is, you know, in the Bronx Zoo, you know, there should be a few humans being born to those monkeys. You know? But there's not, you know, so. Unless, of course, Tarzan actually was born to the monkeys, and then he just went, he's one of those ones that the bridge, you know, like that. But then, you know, he should look like whatever. What's the first one? Is that Homo erectus?
Homo erectus.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, you know, he would look a bit more like Homo erectus rather than the modern man. Because otherwise, why the ones in between are gone? Well, in all other species, you can see everything in between. Why there's nothing in between for the human?
Homo erectus or Neanderthal?
I was taught Neanderthal. Yeah. I think there was Homo erectus. What is it? Homo erectus?
They taught us Neanderthal was first, and then Homo erectus, then Homo sapiens.
Yeah, that's kind of what we did. Then they reversed it, and Neanderthal's kind of been sidelined, because I think they only connect them with, you know, probably the, most likely the German tribes or something, and who knows, something from there. Yeah, now they have 15 different groups, and if you come back and some more, they'll have more, and then at one point they won't have any. How can you discriminate? You know? Yes, does that mean Darwin's a racist because he's discriminating between all the different species and all that? Yeah. Darwin's a racist. Okay. Or then the last one he says is the other meaning, gopis who sarup no one knew, means the sarup means their is the actual nature of the person. So Krishna, his sarup means he is everything. So sarup includes everything. So their sarup to match his on that platform, then who knows? If you don't know Krishna's sarup, how can you know their sarup? So, because you see, it's when you talk about the four first rasas, generally no one has any difficulty with them. But when you talk about the conjugal, that's where things start coming up, difficulties come up. So that means if they're saying, oh, it's immoral, that means they don't know the sarup. They don't know who they are. They don't know who Krishna is. You know, Prabhupada says it's like the child is playfully interacting with his reflection in the mirror. They have a small, like, toddler, and they come up, touch, and do things, you know, all this, because they're non-different from him. But at the same time, there's the uniqueness. So he's just interacting with his own Shakti. We don't understand, because if we don't understand the Sarup, we won't understand the Shakti on that level. When it comes down a bit and becomes formalized, then we start to catch it. So again, these are all just the different ways that he's taking the Aswarupa Vidaha. So that's why we have to hear from the acharyas. Otherwise, if you take this so-called literal translation, then because literal means what I would say it is. That's how I'd use the word. You know, so you're using this. No, but literally it should be this. But that's how you'd use it. That may be how many use it, But how the acharyas use it, that's the actual literal.
Yeah. This is also, I came across many times that what people say literal, it's actually traditional usage of the term.
Yes.
But it's not literal. If you look in the dictionary, it could be like very different.
Yeah, yeah. So many
because contemporary and old, it's
yeah.
And that you know, etymology, if you look into that, that's even
yeah,
more.
Go back into the Greek or the Latin and like that, it's yeah, very far out.
So yeah, it changes.
It changed where it is. It's just like, remember I was talking about one devotee who, you know, is tends to be a bit traditional, very well read, very scholarly. And then they said something, he says, oh, wow, that's cool. He says, what does that got to do with what I was talking about? What does that got to do with temperature? You know, like that. You know. So one is he knew what I said, but two, he played a part because he didn't like people using the word cool to mean it's nice. You know, you should say something, oh, that's wonderful, or that's great, or, you know, something. But in his circle of background, cool simply meant weather. But in my background, cool meant it was, you know, it was hip. You know, and in his definition, hip would be a medical term for this part of the body. You know? You know, or it was boss, you know, that would be the guy in charge of the, you know, who tells you what to do. You know, so that's the thing is that in my circle, no, that's what cool means. But in his circle, it didn't mean that. And he was annoyed because even literally it doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you know, like that, by dictionary definition. Now it will be given as one of the different things.
Yeah, I think Srila Prabhupada, he saw some advertisement, smoking is cool. And he said, no, it isn't, it's hot.
It's hot, yeah. It's hot, yeah.
So he was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're associated with menthol cigarettes, you know, so they have the menthol, so it feels cool, but it's actually fire.
Oh, yeah.
Because menthol is also heating, but
it's
it's hot, but it gives the effect of coolness.
Yeah, the aftertaste.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like these, I think they have menthol in them, so they're actually hot. You think, how could something cooling fix your throat when you got it? No, it's hot. It burns up. I mean,
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.